Hey, guys.
Whoa, big gulps, huh?
All right. Well, see you later.
Hey, Harry, I got some beef jerky.
Some people just weren't cut out for life on the road.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap, bringing to you episode 52, marking one full year of putting out podcasts here for the Muskies on Tap crew. So, pretty pumped on that. Woo woo. Shout out to all the listeners for listening in each and every week, you know, keeping us doing this thing, and we're really enjoying it. So, we got a lot of good stuff to talk about here tonight. We got some PMTT recap, you know, Cave Run that just happened. We're going to talk about the Southern opener coming up this weekend. And yeah, it's going to be a good chat. We're just going to have just the Mott crew here. So let's introduce the others on here tonight. We got Max Manti. How you doing tonight, Max?
Doing good. Feel like I'm just finally catching up on some sleep from Cave Run. Gus, I know I'm sure you probably feel the same. We decided to make the trek back after the award ceremony in Moorhead, Kentucky at 4 a.m. and 12 and a half, 13 hours later, I was back in Minnesota and turned it around the next day and did my best to try to roll up the old sleeves and go to work. So yeah, it was kind of a long stretch there, but a really fun week. Felt really good to be back out on the water. It was a long anticipated time there this winter to get back out and do some musky fishing. So excited to break it all down, kind of talk about the overall thoughts of Cave Run. Super unique, interesting body of water. But before we get into it, let me just quickly introduce our third counterpart here, our third co-host, Brian Eckel. How you doing this evening, Brian?
I'm doing terrific. I feel like I haven't been on the mic here in a few weeks. I'm excited to chop it up with you guys, hear about your travels and your musky fishing down in Kentucky. Sounds like you guys got yourself on the front page of the leaderboard, which is sick. And yeah, we got Southern opener coming up this weekend, finally. And excited to break down that a little bit more. We've always talked about fishing the Wisconsin River, so looking forward to breaking that down and tackling that this weekend.
Sure enough. Excited to get back out in the boat with you, brother.
I know. Been a long time coming.
It's been a long time. We've been on the ice, but, you know, that's just not the same.
Nah.
We at least get a little space on the ice. You know, you can walk around. Here, we're all going to be within 15 feet of each other for however many hours we're out there.
A deodorant-less 48 hours ahead.
Yeah. I just experienced that for five straight days down in Kentucky.
Dang.
It was, what was it? All six of us packed into a nice little lodge and
pretty cabin. Smell like a little locker room.
Yeah. There's
a little musty
going on.
The temperatures were nice. We kept the door open, you know, here and there, windows cracked. Definitely helped. Gnarly smells coming from the kitchen, you know, whatever was going on in there. Breakfast Sammy's microwaved, I don't know, blend of chips and snacks, and yeah.
Not quite as interesting as the smells that were coming from Tony's place on Thursday night at that party.
Yep. Yep, Greg predicted that, you know.
Yeah. Having a cookout or what?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, some people cooked.
Cooking something.
Yeah. Cooking something.
All right. Well, I'm curious. We can just kind of try and go through your first leg of the PMTT in somewhat of a chronological order, although we're not very good at that. We tend to jump around. But anything eventful in your travels down there? I know it's a long ride, but do y'all get there pretty efficiently?
Yeah, we hit a good amount of rain in, what was that, like southern Wisconsin, Illinois, and a good part of Indiana, and then it cleared up. I guess that was really all that kept it somewhat eventful, I guess. But we made it in pretty good time. And
What was the total time? Like with stops and everything?
stops and everything, it probably came out to close to 14 hours if I had to guess. Does that sound about right, Max? 13 maybe?
Yeah, we kind of took some back roads heading into Salt Lick, Moorhead area, and that was a little bit of a delay, but kind of a cool scenery coming into town. Made it just in time for a little Pops BBQ,
Oh,
local joint there. That was really
what
good.
time did you guys
And
arrive?
like 7:30.
7:30. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was 4:30 a.m. alarm clock for me. Met Gus in southern Wisconsin, dropped my car off, and then him and I hit the road. Got in late, had a little food, and started the fishing endeavors of Cave Run, which, my God, what an interesting body of water. I'll start it off with that.
So, Max, I'm sure you were. I mean, we kind of had some pretty green grass and stuff like that, so that was nice to see. But I'm sure you were a little surprised getting down there and seeing kind of the other colors, the water color there, the fact that there's trees, all like the clay looking stuff on the shorelines, and the pretty sizable hills, or I guess you could call them mountains down there, was all some new stuff for you, right, Max?
Yeah, I mean, I growing up, we've watched all the Keys Outdoors episodes and whatnot at Cave Run, so I was fairly familiar with some of the areas and like the scenery, the water, what kind of bite we were anticipating a little bit, but yeah, it was just a totally unique place to go fish muskies. I mean, until now, my muskie, I guess the amount of musky waters I fish have been limited to really Minnesota and Wisconsin. A little bit obviously in the UP, but outside of those, outside of the Midwest, I've not chased muskies. So kind of interesting to be down in like a southern reservoir and being like, oh shit, hey, there's muskies here. But yeah, as far as like water clarity and the standing timber and stuff, I knew it was gonna be what it was just from, well, like I said, watching old Keys videos and whatnot. I think the biggest surprise I had when I got down there, and I told this to you, is like when you see it on a map, because there's no other bodies of water that are close to it. So you don't really get like as much of a size comparison as you do like up here, where you look at a lake, and if you know a lake that's close to it, you can kind of get a rough estimate on how big that water is going to fish. I actually thought that Cave Run was way larger than, like, much bigger in person than I thought it looked like on the map. Some of the drives we were making were 10, 15, 20 minutes from, the north side of the lake down the river a little bit. That kind of threw me off guard. I was not expecting that.
But isn't most of that body of water not really fishable or not, I mean, just not great water to fish? Like I think you had texted Gus that like the size of the lake is big, but where you're actually going to fish is relatively small, like the good spots, and so the boats kind of pack in.
Yeah, it's like when I first went down there, Jeremy Barber gave me one piece of advice that has stuck with me, and it's Cave Run's big, but it fishes really small. The spots just all of a sudden just feel small once you get to know them and once you fish them. 'Cause realistically, it's a reservoir. It's got a river channel that cuts through the whole thing, and there's a The open water, there's no like open water humps. I mean, there's the Zilpo Flats, which is like the one of pretty much the only area where there's shallow water way out into the middle of the lake. Otherwise, the rest of the lake is 30 to 60 feet deep of no trees. There's definitely obviously some parts when you go south to the river or Beaver Creek where there's plenty of trees that kind of jut out to the middle. But once you get north of I'd say Buck Creek, all of the middle is just kind of nothing. I mean, there's probably some fish scattered here and there, but I mean, that's kind of hard to take all in. Maybe if you're a very proficient troller, you could figure something out there, but realistically, it comes down to the flats where the weeds are and then the creek arms. So like
Would
that big
you?
old lake condenses into s few small areas.
It almost feels like it's kind of like community spas galore, where
Right.
like I've never been to a tournament body of water where people are just like, kind of just naming areas that they were fishing, because like it's just kind of how it fishes. And like I was talking to somebody when we were kind of back at the lodge, and it's like, they're all community spots, but they're kind of community spots for a reason. Like, they're all named, all these creek arms are named, areas of the river are named. And you go into those spots and it's like, well, that's where the best trees are, that's where the weeds are, that's where the bait is. And so it's like, if you're trying to kind of reinvent the wheel down there, it seems pretty tricky. Like, I'm sure the local people know some, maybe secret-ish spots, or like spots that don't get hit as much or receive as much pressure. But like, I think more so the local knowledge down there is like, here's how you get them, because it's like, they're there, the areas that they should be, but like to get them to eat is a whole different world. Some of the other bodies of water, like, even kind of Madison, definitely Vermilion from last year, the Chip, it's like, all right, let's go find fish. A lot of the spots at Cave, you're like, yeah, this spot probably holds fish, but like getting them to eat's the actual battle, which it always is, but I thought way more so down there. And we'll kind of dive into that during the actual tournament stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, not a lot of secrets out there spot wise. I guess if there are any secrets, they're really good because nobody's discovered them yet. But like you said, tough to get them to go. But Gus, if I'm not mistaken, your first hour or two of pre-fishing on Wednesday, you took a play out of your own playbook from last year and you got a couple jigging. Was it both of them?
No, this was actually so I told Max to start it off. I'm like, well, I already got some areas from the previous year. Let's go somewhere brand new that we know nothing about. And we took a drive and figured to kind of pick apart different areas near this just because I knew it was a good spot. And we roll in and start hucking shoreline, and I toss on one of Nick's baits, the Hammer Customs sledgehammer, like an 8-9 inch crankbait. Kind of similar to like a 9-inch Gramma, but wider, kind of like a Ridgeway. And Max was throwing a glide in front of me, and we were running some live scope too, just to kind of like learn the spot better. And just as I'm like looking at it and thinking, like, I think Max just had a follow, like 20 minutes in, I look at my crankbait 30 feet from the boat and give it a pull. It rose all the way to the surface and boom, there's a fish on it, and I just straight retrieve it into a first corner and it crushes it, T-bones it. First 20 minutes of fishing. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. And put up a pretty decent fight. It was a 35 incher, and got some picks, released it, got back to fishing, and I'm like, dude, that's not how Cave Run is. And then we just start going down the shoreline, and not 20 minutes later, boom, I get slammed way on the class cast, same bait. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, dude, this is insane. I've never, I
We're
mean,
thinking the
fish.
bite's gonna be great.
We're like, holy, we were like, okay, the water's high and it's coming down. And like during pre-fishing, we had somewhat cold weather still, highs in the 60s and lows in, 40s and upper 30s actually. And that one was also another mid 30s. And I'm like, dude, this is insane. Like, the spot's been hyped up for a reason. It's a big time community spot. We're like, all right, let's just learn it and get out of here, pretty much. We got fairly lucky at the beginning, and I obviously there's no secrets on Cave, but just for the protection of the spot, I won't name it. And for those that were in the tournament, obviously no. Some of the people know where we caught the fish in the tournament. That's where we had all the luck pre-fishing. And that kind of goes into the whole story of our pre-fishing, is that we couldn't catch or move a fish outside of this one area the entire time pre-fishing. So going into the tournament, not to jump too far ahead, we're like, we have to fish this one area. Like,
What was so different about that spot compared to the others? I mean, depth, current, structure, cover.
Just bait, honestly. Looks the same as any other creek arm, and there's just good bait
Yeah,
there, and it was holding fish.
there's bait in. I mean, I could surmise our pre-fishing. Literally, I don't think we need to even labor on it. I mean, after those two fish we caught, we moved another one, like Gus said, in the same area and saw some others on the side in that area, so we knew they were in there. And we fished a million other spots because, like Gus said, last year was his first year down there, and he really kind of just stuck to a very small area, and that's how he got it done last year. But that area didn't look as good this year, and so we really wanted to branch out and learn some new stuff, and we drove all over that freaking body water, man, and we fished every single creek arm that had a name that people have told us to go to and fish, and we tried some new spots that we had never heard of before that we thought looked good, and just nothing. Dead sea status. So it was a pretty clear decision for us, like come tournament time, what we wanted to do. And I think it seemed like other people were kind of in the same mode. Like they had, figured out a little bit of something here and there pre-fishing. Nobody that we talked to, during the rules meeting or, in our group at, the few parties that we went to, that week, nobody was like crushing them. I mean, unless people were really holding their cards close to the vest, which, fishermen are sometimes they're like that. Sometimes they want to talk about how many fish they're catching. So you just never know what you're getting is just truth or not, but it felt pretty genuine that like not much was happening for a lot of people. And everyone's like, I mean, I think we kind of have something figured out. And it felt like most of the people they talked to, especially the people that caught fish and did well, stuck to the few spots throughout the week that they were comfortable in and seeing fish in. It
Yeah.
was definitely not a run and gun type event.
No. What day did the Kentucky DNR stop by? Was that Thursday or Friday?
I think it was on Friday. Yeah.
So Friday was a pretty not super great weather day. I mean, it still I think was pretty high skies, and I don't think the wind shifted yet to the south. I don't think there was a I think it was still that north northwest wind, and
East.
he came up and he was asking us questions like, from out of state, you fishing for muskie, how many hours are you putting in, did you catch any?
I thought
One
you
of
were
the
gonna try a
questions was
southern accent there.
oh, ain't no way, dog, I can't.
Nah,
License and registration. No, I didn't ask for that, but
he was a
he was a
beauty.
beauty. He immediately was like, "Oh, you guys ain't from around here. I can tell by your accents." I'm like, "Our accents? Nah." But
Guys ain't from
it
around
was,
here.
yeah. And he also asked like if we were using LiveScope, which is kind of interesting too. They must be taking he was taking notes in the survey or something like that. And we're like, "Yeah, we've been fishing for 8 hours and haven't seen a single fish." He's like, yeah, I've talked to the DNR guys. Like, I've talked to 30 boats and only one
34.
caught a 34 incher all
Damn.
Friday. I mean, obviously, there's not a ton of fishing on Friday. Well, maybe it was it Friday? Either way, it was one of the pre-fishing days, and
Could have been Thursday.
it was just interesting to hear that like that many boats he stopped by muskie fishing, only one caught a 34 incher. But I mean, it's just from what I've heard on Cave Run, it's just a difficult bite no matter what. I mean, we did have a decent bit of sun throughout the whole week. And looking back, it seemed like a lot of good bites down there from Old Keys episodes happened when it was a little cloudier. It seemed like each morning people got a decent bite. There was a morning miner during the tournament, but that seemed to be, one
What
thing that got it.
were your water temps down there? 'Cause I want to talk about that more when we go into this coming weekend chatter, but what was your average? I'm sure it was a little bit warmer in the creek arms or no?
Yes, yeah, the creek arms held a little bit higher temps. The shallower your boat was in, the warmer the temps as well. We started the week on Wednesday morning with just knocking on 60 In the morning, it was probably 58 to 60. And then by afternoon, it was getting over 60. And I think by the end of the tournament, there were some spots that were 64, 65, 66, hitting a little bit warmer.
Those fish weren't all spawned out.
No, dude, this place is weird. People, some of the locals are saying that they weren't, some of them just weren't going to spawn, and a lot of them are just going to carry their egg weight over. I don't know how they know that, or just dump them later, or just take in the egg weight. I don't really understand it fully. I mean, I guess hearing Greg Thomas talk about it last week, he was saying that there's some natural reproduction, kinda. Otherwise, it's a lot of going through the motions and relying on stocking mainly. So I just, those fish must just be on a different program down there
And
or
the
something.
super shallow water is so dirty, like you wouldn't even be able to tell what's going on in there. Like you'd be in 2 feet of water, you'd have no idea some of those back bays.
Yeah, you can't really see. I mean, some of the main lake stuff when the water was dropping cleaned up to, a couple feet of clarity. But like Max said, when you're shallow in one of the creek arms, there's enough wind mixing it up and like some, flow from lowering the lake and the creek arms that it stayed dirty
I
that you
don't
could
think I
only see like.
saw. I don't think I saw the bottom of the lake one time.
We only saw like one spot back in that creek arm where it was like 1 foot deep, but that was like it.
Yeah, true. That was it.
That's it. I mean, yeah, you could pretty much drive up to a riprap shore and sit like 2 feet away from it and be like, I can see the bottom for like a foot, and then it just drops down into the abyss immediately.
So in your two trips now down to Cave Run, I haven't heard you talk about this at all. I'm curious if Clayton or anybody else has had any success on it, but are bucktails just non-existent this time of the year down there?
I don't know. I think somebody in the top 10 caught one on a spinnerbait, I want to say. I know spinnerbaits are a thing. We brought them out a little bit, but we didn't have any luck moving fish on that. I don't really know. Greg said the 1 year that they won it was a warm year, and they got one on a bucktail, but then they also got one on trolling a 10-inch believer in like 20, 30 feet of water or something like that. So, it's a little different. We threw small bucktails too. We actually did not have very much luck on small baits in general. And it seemed like from a lot of people, there actually was more of a mid to larger bait size bite going on, which is a little surprising in the state that the fish were in like a funk. You'd think something small and slow would mainly be the way to go, but I don't know, man. There were so many different. That's just one of those tournaments where the whole top 10 board, everyone caught a fish in a different way. Some in the similar areas, but different depths and different bait presentations. It's not like a, Minnesota bite in August or like the, I don't know, when they used to have it on the Eagle River chain where majority of them are bucktails, for the top 10, bucktails and rubber. Here it's like a
Yeah,
lot of
but
jerk baits, a lot of glides. Dive and Rise did it for some people. One of them was a spinner bait and a decent bit of rubber. So it was like all over the board.
no one caught any trolling or jigging this year.
I don't,
Not at least in the
not
top
that they,
10 that talked about it or said.
yeah, I don't think so. We tried jigging a little bit pre-fishing with LiveScope to see if we can have a fish come up. We didn't have a single fish that we know of, maybe one, maybe two. Unidentified because there's gar, catfish, carp, all sorts of like
Giant
sizable
bass.
things. Giant
Did you
bass,
guys get
there's,
any big bycatch or nothing?
I snagged a carp.
Oh, hell yeah. During the
During the
tournament,
tournament,
pretty funny.
Max is like,
How was that fight?
yo, he's like, yo, not much. He's like, yo, there's a muskie that just porpoised right there. And I just totally, I'm like, it's going left or right, as I just like bomb a cast already to the right side of it, and he's like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh God, I'm hooked up, dude. And I'm like, this feels weird, and I just come back with a carp and the tail.
How big was it?
Big.
Pretty big, 10, 15 pounder.
Come on, no pick? What the hell?
Nah, shook it off both side. We're in tourney mode.
Scared
Gotta
to
keep
touch
it
those
moving.
things.
It was ugly.
All right. Well, let's get into what got you into the top 10 then. So this was Saturday morning,
Won't have to wait long.
pretty early.
Yeah, right at the peak minor, right as that moon set, we got that one at like 8:30, I think. And yeah, we had the game plan of just hammering the area to begin with that we knew where fish were and had seen a fish and such to start the tournament. And we did our little rounds and kind of were making our way out of the shallow area, and a lot of boats around us. I think a good, I
Well, you
mean, I
got to
look,
back it up real quick. I mean, that
what are
we
we
didn't.
missing?
Well, we went down our milk run lane, and I was casting off one side, and you're casting off the other. And like you said, there was a handful of boats in that area. And this time, it was not a carp. I did see a very large muskie. So like where we were at, there was shad balls that were like right on the surface that were popping everywhere. There's probably four to six boats back in this like creek arm. And so like, you kind of had a radar on like what everyone was doing in that area. Everyone could kind of keep an eye on each other. And we were fishing one side of the creek arm, and I was looking out the other side, and I just saw this like musky porpoise and blow up a ball of shad. And everyone else, luckily for us, was looking the other way. And I don't think anyone else saw it. And so I like whispered to Gus, like, dude, I just saw a really big fish like roll over on a ball of shad. Like I saw both fins, like confirmed muskie. So we bailed on our original milk run and went to the other side and started fishing.
Were you guys throwing like similar or same baits to what you had caught them or moved them pre-fishing?
I think at the time when we started fishing, I was throwing that Hammer Customs crankbait to start the tournament. Did I maybe, I think I just started with that. I don't think I started with the glide or nothing. That's what I think. Yeah. And then when Max saw that one porpoise, we headed that direction and started kind of fishing a little bit of some open water type stuff, semi shallow, moving out to a little bit deeper. And I think we already got past where he saw the one porpoise a little bit and just started headed up that other, shoreline. And I just had my eyes glued on that side image because I was like looking for any type of cover structure, whatever the hell was going on the bottom, that would make me want to take a cast anywhere else. And I hooked one to the just middle of the river channel, the old river channel that went through that area, because I just kept seeing like a ball or two of shad out there, something balled up. And by this point, we're fishing a little bit deeper water, and I threw on the old freaking trusty ninja tube that got her done for me on both fish last year jigging, and decided to, I'm not sure why I wanted to not really rip the tube in. I did a lot more of a methodical pull and let it drop, basically acting like I was jigging, but I was still casting. And I'll never forget that freaking eat, man. That it's just one of those rubber eats where you have all of your tension still kind of on the line. So with those slow pulls right at the top, you can see in the video just the rod tip jump and just like pull forward, and I could just feel the fish like just crush the bait, like take the bait and just crush it, and I could feel it in the line, and I had all the time in the world to set the hook. It wasn't one of those rips where you're just ripping and all of a sudden your next rip on the rubber is like your hook set. That was like, okay, that fish just ate. I'm gonna set the freaking hook. And a lot of boats around us, so I didn't, yell to Max. I'm just like, hey, Max, fish net now. And that fish hit that fish was thrashing on the surface right away and then stayed down, and just a lot of wake out there and heavy. I was thinking pretty big. I was thinking like mid-40s potentially right away when I felt that thing digging. And Max scooped it and ended up being a pre-spawn, quarter inch short of a 40, muskie, which is pretty damn surprising. That thing filled up an entire wreck and rack board, like it was hanging belly off for being a sub 40 fish, which is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen a fish of that length have the belly hang over the board. So that was pretty wild to see that.
Yeah, I was short and stocky. I was thinking big things too. Typically, you don't say big. I mean, every time you say big fish, it typically is. So I was getting pretty nervous. And I mean, I was able to scoop her pretty easily. But when that thing got in the net, Brian, it actually thrashed really hard in the corner of the net to the point these fish like gator roll, like crazy. And when it got in the net, it was literally gator rolling in the net, and it was bringing the net down towards the water. So the net ended up going at like a 45-degree angle for a split second. And I had to take a hand off the net and grab the rim and balance her out. Like I almost dumped the fish back into the water because it is such a, freaking powerful. It wasn't long, but it was, I'll tell you this, it was the biggest fish I've ever seen that was sub 40 inches in
I
my
was
entire life.
gonna say, I wouldn't call it a small fish. You guys are poo-pooing it. It looked like a, I mean, pre-spawn, it that thing had shoulders. That'd be a fun catch any day.
It's like it like kept shrinking though throughout the process. Like Gus is like, he said like big fish. And then when I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, like that. 'Cause all I could see in the water was barrel rolling. I saw its belly flash. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good fish. Got in the net. I'm like, okay, it's not a giant, but like it's solid, like, low 40s muskie. And like Gus
You
is,
pull it
getting
out of the
all
net,
the
you're like, oh.
Gus is like getting all like the stickers ready on the bump board or whatever and like wetting it. And I'm just sitting there looking at it, sitting in the net. I'm just like, I don't look too long. A
Maybe I
tail is
haven't
right
seen a
there. The
muskie in
head's
a
right
while.
there. I'm like, I haven't seen a muskie in a while. That's not looking as long as I thought it was. And he brought it out of the net and it just kept getting smaller and smaller. And he put it on the bump board and he's like, dude, it's not even 40. I'm like, get out of town. Like, I mean, we thought for a long time throughout that process, we had a much bigger fish on our
That
hands. So.
sucks too, because day one big fish was only what, 41?
It's 41
Half, I
something.
think.
I don't know if a fish
41.
was over 42 caught.
Yeah, so that
No.
was very beatable.
Yeah.
Big time.
Definitely the heaviest one caught on day one, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, it was really exciting. I kind of felt like a huge, would you agree, Gus? It was like very large weight off the shoulders to
Yeah.
start the day.
I mean, running through the milk run where we knew a bunch of fish were with like really solid baits that we knew were gonna get should get crushed. Yeah, it was like, oh, finally. It was bound to happen. I mean, that's what I told Max. I'm like, we're playing a numbers game here. We're going to a big time community spot. I know we only fished it this year, but I felt like we had the upper hand on that occasion because I'm sure this lake changes year by year. I'm like, with this slight upper hand, I, hope it happens. And then boom, we cracked that fish because we're chasing a porpoising fish and caught it in a spot and direction. We had no idea another one existed. We didn't have a waypoint there to go, get the boat to and huck in that certain direction. That was just like a, we're paying attention to side image. There's bait over there. We got a good bait on. I'm working it methodical. I'm keeping it in the strike zone, and that's just kind of what happened. And I felt amazing. I felt like we could just hammer five in a half hour or something ridiculous. But it just, I've never had it go so, not so downhill, because it took a while to lose our confidence a little bit more. But man, the fact that we like just couldn't stick another one out in there, or even to the three, four other spots we would hit, within a 10-minute boat drive. I just couldn't believe it. I mean,
Do
there's
you
maybe
guys
one or
have any come into the eight after that, or
no. No,
Wow.
nothing came into the eight the rest of the tournament. We only had one fish raised in the 5 days and caught three. We maybe had one checking out our jigs, jigging on Sunday morning. Maybe. And that's hard to tell because we only had side image, so we didn't know like how much it stuck around or the true size of it. So it was interesting. I couldn't really believe it because the water was cleaning up from when it was dropping. I'm like, these fish should be showing themselves. I mean, the cleaner water, you'd think they'd be able to find baits a little bit easier and, be a little bit more curious, but they're stubborn there, real stubborn. You got to get the bait in the right strike zone to get those fish to do anything.
I feel like that's the same with early season and, the openers up here in the Midwest. Like the fish are just so finicky. A lot of them are sitting, 50 yards off the A1 spot, just in no man's land. You
Just
can whiz a
lethargic.
bait by its head and they won't do anything. I mean, it's just a weird time of the year, but I feel like in spring, probably more so than any other time of the year, they can just snap and just pop off within like a few days stretch. I don't know what the weather trend is, but we've had it on opener before, and hopefully that'll happen this weekend or for the Northern opener.
No
Hoping
doubt.
so too, man. I mean,
Gus,
yeah, Cave Run is just tough.
did you find it weird on the first morning? So I guess it's kind of funny. Like when we were heading to the spot, obviously we don't have the fastest boat, and our buddies Clay and Nick come flying past us, and we're like, oh no, are they going to go to the spot that we were fishing? And sure enough, they pop in there, and like they're obviously amazing anglers, and like the few other boats in there, some recognizable people, like, there's just a lot of good anglers around this area. And like, it was very odd. Like we have not fished in a tournament yet where it was such a community event, just a family affair in there.
Like
You're fishing.
how close were you to these other boats?
I mean, we're spaced apart, but if you got to pass somebody on one of the shorelines, I mean, you're going to be a cast length away.
And you were hopping in line. Like after everyone got kind of positioned to start the day, like where that fish porpoised, we were really fortunate that that there wasn't a boat in that spot. Like for whatever reason, no one was there at that time, and so we were able to kind of slide in. But like, you wanted to fish a shoreline, there was a really good chance that another boat that had some really good sticks in it had either just gone through it or had gone through it, not too long before you hopped in there. And so like, it really comes down to just a little bit of that luck element or trying to do something a little bit different, I guess. But I feel like when everyone kind of has that mentality, it's like, it's tough. Like, I don't know. I just found it odd. Like we had not yet really fished in a tournament where we were in the same bay as like multiple other boats to the point where we had to like whisper if we got a follow or something like that.
Yeah.
Every time we fished in these PMTTs, we've been fortunate to kind of find our own deal, and just as other people do too, and kind of stay away from other boats. But yeah, this time around was not the case. And it felt like if you did find yourself kind of in no man's land and no one else was around, there's probably a reason why.
Yeah,
Like
pretty
you're in an
much.
area where there's nothing going on.
So I mean, that's why I was told Cave Run fish is so small. It's because like those named creek arms and those named flats, those named areas are named for a reason, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's pretty goofy, honestly. I mean, the weeds weren't spectacular. There was a couple patches here and there, and it seemed like there was a decent bit caught in the weeds, but like seemed a little quiet from the old community spot up on Scott Creek. Zilpo Flats looked like it pumped out a couple for some people, but man, I think most of the people got it from shoreline timber and shoreline weeds and some of these creek arms. I think that's what it kind of boiled down to this year. And then the crazy thing is there is like, oh, people will kind of hear about it this year. Next year they're gonna go try it. Next year it could be a phenomenal bite on Zilpo, or somebody jigging in the marina in Scott Creek is gonna hammer four of them. I mean, it's just bizarre every year because it's spring fishing, as we know up here. Every year is different. You can't go fish the same 500 acre lake up here every opener and expect the same results. That's just not going to happen. Like you gotta be pretty mobile, but also know when to stay and stick it out, because those fish will hide. And I, as surprised as I was for not moving another fish during the tournament, Max, I thought it would boil down to like, oh, pre-fishing, we didn't have a ton of action because we fished so fast and covered a lot of water and found a lot of new spots. But in the tournament, man, we're fishing those spots from 0 miles an hour to 0.5, not even. I mean, we're picking them apart and still just, I don't know. Those fish were everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Well, maybe we'll give a quick kind of brief rundown of our Sunday game plan and how we ended up kind of just staying with that one fish. But after that, maybe we can go down the leaderboard a little bit, give some shout outs to some other teams and kind
Yeah, I was just pulling
of
that up.
fill people in on how the boys did in our previous podcast that we had on with the Barbers and Clayton and Nick as well. And Greg, I'm sure that was a little bit of a forgettable tournament for Greg. Like he said, he's taken every single place in Cave Run from first to DFL, and I think that just goes to show right there that, like, man, this body of water can be interesting, that's for sure. Even if you know what
For
it's like getting
sure.
those fish to eat, or just it's not your
Yeah.
day, it's not your day. But yeah,
Right.
Gus, you want to kind of go in on quick on Sunday? I mean, Saturday there really wasn't else to talk about. We didn't see any other fish get caught Saturday. We didn't see any other fish. Felt decent all day. We had a lot of confidence in what we were doing. It just never happened, never materialized. So I think that's kind of what went into Sunday's decision of changing up a little bit. And yeah, Gus, if you want to just kind of touch on that.
Yeah, the lack of feedback in our confidence spots was a little disheartening. So we had kind of like a 50-50 game plan a Sunday with the shorter day. We're like, we're going to spend 50% of our time on this single spot, and we're going to spend 50% of our time on like these two spots that are close together, and that's it. Like, we're not going to go stray from that. We're not going to go chase around small spots and pick them, fish them fast and do that whole thing, jump in spots. We just wanted to fish two spots. And our boat, we obviously flipped. We went from first out on Saturday to out of the trail teams, probably 55th or so boat, somewhere in the 50s on our, the trail teams. There's 63 trail teams. So on the day one, it goes, 1 to 93. There's 93 boats in that tournament. And then day two, it goes the end of the trail teams, which would be 63 back down to one, and then the non-trail teams that would go 93 down to 64. So we are somewhere, because I don't think every trail team showed up, we're somewhere in the like 55th or so boat that went out. And we saw a good 80% of those boats head exactly in the direction we wanted to go, and we were like, oh shit. And mid probably 10 boats to when we started, I looked at Max. I'm like, we're audibling. We're going to the other spot first. The spot we said we weren't going to go until after the minor.
Minor.
And I'm like, we're going to go hit that hard. We're going to go jig a good portion of it, because it lays out a little bit differently than what we were fishing. And we sat in that spot. It was sunny, it was calm, and we watched 10, 12 plus boats filter through this area, and not a single fish get caught. We were paying attention because we were jigging, looking around. We were
Or
watching what other
moved
people were
nothing.
throwing. We moved nothing. Nobody moved nothing. By the time it was the end of that minor, we were surrounded by like four boats. This one dude pulled up and started casting like 20 feet from our boat. I was about to freaking yell at this dude and be like, dude, get the hell out of here. Like, what the hell are you doing? I was about to stop jigging and just cast at his motor. I'm like, dude, I usually don't get pissed in tournaments, but I'm like, this was ridiculous. There was already two of us jigging this area. Homie pulls up, starts hawking a bulldog just like right at us. I'm like, this is absurd. I hate this. I don't like this at all. And we got out of there and went to the other area, and turned out we probably made a wrong decision. on where we started because it sounded like fish were going in the other area. We got confirmation from the barbers that they raised a nice one. Trevor ended up catching a 36, 36 and some
Shout
change.
out. Shout out.
Shout out, Trev. And they also watched another boat, I think, catch one, catch a short, something like that. So obviously they were going in that other area that we ended up wanting to go to. Because on Saturday, we actually were near the barbers and Clayton and Nick a good bit of time, which is funny going back to the whole thing where when we stay with people, we share stuff, but we also don't. None of us knew we were going to that area. We just all happened to end up in these particular areas. We had no idea. It just is what happens when you find, decent spots, good bait, and boom, you're gonna see, your buddies there and other, decent fishermen. Then it's kind of like confirmation, like, oh, so these spots are pretty solid if so and so is fishing it. And so we might have missed out on a little bit of a bite. And I don't know what else to really add there, Max. We just fished that other area pretty hard and didn't
Ryan,
see
I
nothing.
jigged for 3.5 hours straight. I mean, Gus, you proud of me? No shout out there. I
What did it
mean,
get
come
you?
on.
What did it get you, Mac?
Got me a sore
Yeah.
arm, a kink in my neck. And yeah, I was just sad. It's a
That's when
boring
you
way to not catch fish, I'll tell you that.
that's when you take your medicine and start hucking.
I tried a little bit. I mean, the way, like Gus said, the way this spot laid out, I mean, you really kind of needed to keep your bait in that like 10 to 12, maybe 15-ish feet strike zone jigging. It was just too hard to cast, dude. I mean, when I tried to cast these tree areas, this is kind of what I was talking to you about, like where I was just kind of getting frustrated down in this lake. It's like, man, if you don't really have it like super dialed in, I mean, you're either fishing where it felt like just dead area up on the top of the water, or you're getting snagged every other to third cast. And it just like screws up your drifts, it screws up your rhythm, your flow, it gets you like, man, should I switch baits? And like that's where I just got into my own head, even pre-fishing into the tournament where, I mean, newsflash here, Gus caught the three fish we stuck that that weekend
Somebody
or
had to
that
say
week.
it.
And I didn't, didn't get a single bite. I did raise one fish, but that was kind of more in the traditional sense of how we typically fish. Like I just felt like you really needed a good amount of experience and practice fishing these, these tree boas and all this stuff, different types of things that like, you're sitting in 30, 40 feet of water or 20 feet of water and you're casting out to shore, which is also still 20 feet, and you're fishing over the tops of these old trees. It's like you're just fishing over like a, it's just like it was like a community down there, there's old bridges, there's a forest underneath the water.
Skyscrapers. How many
There's
times do you
bridges,
have to get the bait retriever out?
probably 10. I don't know. I mean,
Close
a
to,
lot of the
yeah.
snags casting, luckily, were, I kind of got it down to the point where it's like, all right, if you tick a tree, just like leave your bait, we'll get to the other side of it, you yank it out, not a big deal. But it's still just like it's annoying. Like it's tough to kind of get into that like rhythm of throwing. So definitely something I'll take note of for next year to like really try to dial in that where the bait's positioned when we're pre-fishing, because yeah, it's just a whole nother way to fish. I mean, Gus kind of warned me, but like I don't know, it's just
It's
weird, you know.
you can only warn so much of like, hey, this is bizarre fishing. You're gonna get snagged a lot, and that's like a good thing. It means you're getting your bait down, and you just gotta stick through it. I'm more so bummed that you didn't get the confidence you needed or a follow or something out of those trees. I'm not, like I said, I'm not sure why we picked a lot of those good spots apart. Just finding another bite just wasn't for us that tournament. Max and I already had a discussion, like, man, we got one early Saturday and we really dropped the ball on picking apart a fish or two more the rest of that tournament. It felt like if you did contact a fish, you had a very good chance of catching it. Not many other people, for the most part, were raising a lot of fish. I mean, some people said they were raising a good bit. I don't know how much I truly believe It really did not feel like many fish were showing themselves, and when they did, it was to eat pretty much. A few other people we heard were like, we only caught the fish we contacted, which was one or two or something like that. And I'm like, that's, that definitely adds up. But yeah, it's a weird visualization of doing these trees. It's like you're in 20 feet or 30 feet and the trees are coming up 15. You got to think of some wild things, like you're in 30 feet of water and there's 15 foot high weeds and you got to scrape the tops of those weeds. And if you get in them, obviously you got to get the old bait retriever out, but it's
So
tough stuff.
sounds like somewhere I'd lose my mind if, if I was in the boat and we didn't get that one to go within the first hour. I mean, like that would be the one calming part of it. But if you guys didn't catch that fish, oh, it sounds so frustrating out there.
I mean, Gus can speak for probably my own mental state on those 2 days
It's
fishing in a
what happened to
tournament.
Mr. Positive Vibes only? What happened?
I would say I kept things positive. Would you agree with that, Gus?
Yeah, overall, I thought we kind of kept it fairly positive. I mean, I'd say maybe our game plan went out the window like a few times, but when we stuck to it, it felt good. We got the one when we stuck to our game plan, and then, like I said, the frustrating part is we stuck to it in a lot of different areas and nothing produced. It felt like at some point we're like we needed more to go on, or just we did all that we could do with what we had.
I would say positive vibes were kept at a decent level on the outside. I was very pissed on the inside. Like I was like, I can't get one fish to go in 15 hours. Like, granted it's the first trip of the year and I probably had a lot of rust to shake off, and not that I'm you just, you kind of set some expectations for yourself. You're like, all right, like Gus gets the one. I want to pitch it. I want to contribute. I want to help. Like, I feel like I can at least get one to move, maybe see where they're at, whatever, like contribute in some way, shape, or form. And it's like 15 straight hours of just, I mean, beating the absolute shit out of the water and just getting no feedback. And like, I mean, it wasn't like we weren't fishing hard. I mean, we were fishing very hard. And yeah, it was tough. I mean, like imagine going on a trip to Canada. I mean, not that this is ever comparable, but like, you go on a trip to Canada or any of these other tournaments really. And granted, pre-fishing, like we're not, maybe we're not fishing as hard as we are in the tournament, but it's still 5 days of musky fishing. And to not catch a single fish or a bycatch. So like to not even like have anything hit the end of your line like that, it wears on you a little bit. Like, I mean, we're in northern Wisconsin, like there's, we've had our tough days, sure, but like there's a lot of fish up here, and typically you can get some action every day. That was a whole nother animal to like go 5 days, really see behind my lure one fish. It's like, holy shit, that's
Well,
crazy.
you paid your dues, hopefully. So
Yeah,
hopefully you're
hopefully.
in for a good weekend coming
This
up.
is a little therapeutic vent sesh here. Just had to get it out of the system because, yeah, I think when like the tournament got done, I mean, I was just like, all right, that was, I gotta just like shake that one
Go
off. That was kind of crazy. Like, because I'm
Yeah.
driving down there, you're all amped up, like first trip of the year, heading to K Run, like, you hear all these, there's a bunch of fish down there. And granted, it's a tough bite, but like every time you're going into a fishing trip, you always think like, oh, I'm gonna freaking kill it. I'm gonna catch a bunch of fish or, whatever. And driving back, like, holy crap, that was a lot of hours, a lot of cast made
Yeah.
without sticking anything.
Well,
So
at least you guys caught the one. I can't imagine a 15-hour road trip back and you got skunked.
it could happen any given year, like
Yeah.
it easily could, but
Yeah. Well, I can read out the top three here if you
yeah,
guys are ready to go in the
let's do the
lead.
top
Do it
three,
up.
and then we'll touch on some stories from the teams that we had on last week.
Yeah, so first place, the champs, Nate Osfar and Brian Krell. Probably gonna butcher all these.
No, you're good. Well,
They caught a
can we touch on them real quick before?
yeah, they caught 37 and a quarter, a 36, and a 34 and three quarters. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe they got the 30. Oh boy. I'm not sure what they got the first day. I think it might have been the 34 and three quarters, and then they caught two on Sunday to seal the deal, the 37 and a quarter and a 36. Not too much of an introduction there on Nate Osfer for people out there that know tournament fishing, and his partner Brian Crowell, which is another local up here in the Northwoods, is just phenomenal sticks. You know, talked to him a little bit in this at the ceremony, and man, they just they got the bites they needed and they capitalized on them big time. I think I don't know what they got. I know Nate got one on a jig that he just bought at the store, which is pretty cool. I was Max, as Max knows, I was throwing a musky jig and an underspin during the tournament. Felt awesome. I felt like I was going to get a bite, and I think that was a very good tactic. And I'm almost kind of mad at myself for not throwing it more, but that was pretty cool to see. And congrats to Nate and Brian for getting the dub at the old cave. I know Nate's got a lot of history out there of, I believe, winning the championship out there, I want to say, for sure. Max, you think? I don't know. I don't have any of the stats
out,
from...
I know he's won out there.
His name's
I know he's won
there.
Something out there. So congrats to them.
Yeah, moving down to second place, Jason Summers and Dan Wotusik, maybe.
Yeah.
A 37, another 37, and then a 33 and a quarter.
They got all of those on Sunday to climb the leaderboard. So they found a bite on Sunday.
Did they spill the beans on it or?
Not really.
They
Dan
fished
kept
the same stuff Sunday as they did Saturday.
I think they kept with the same game plan, and I think because of the slight weather change, they probably just found
they
the fish
them.
That they needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know Jason Summers, for those that know, he's been part of Chaos. He, you know, came up with the Medusa, if I'm not mistaken, and I think he said in his interview that he got his fish on a bulldog. So he's a trader.
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 Hey, it worked
and,
out.
And then Dan's a local too, with Three Lakes up here, you know, the Three Lakes Eagle River area. So that's two. I don't know where Jason is right now, Max. Is he in
Minnesota guy?
Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some Midwest locals, couple Eagle River, Vilas, Oneida County area locals. Or I guess Nate's a little south, but still Midwest. And then, so congrats to them. And then who's next, Brian?
Third place, Garrick Sobeski and Aaron Parise. A 30, or excuse me, a 40, and then a 37. Sunday, big
nice
fish on that.
Ooh. Yeah, there wasn't any mega giants caught in this tournament, but congrats to them on getting the Sunday big fish.
So the overall big fish was 41 and a quarter?
Yes.
That's pretty wild.
Shout out Aaron. He's a listener of the pod. We got to chat with him. He's rocking a Saddle Tramp tee up there on stage, so he's repping Tom Vanetta's bait company. I'm sure you know it. He's from that area, the PA area.
Yeah.
Somewhere
great, in that region.
Great dude. I know he's very stoked, and that's a hell of a finish. They got both their fish on Sunday. He actually had sent me the video of his fish on Sunday, so we'll wait to check that out when it comes out on the PMTT website, because I'm sure that'll be the big fish Sunday potentially on film.
Nice.
It's a pretty sick eat, so we'll just leave it at that. It's pretty cool for those guys. I don't know if that's Aaron's first PMTT, but if it is, hell of a finish for the first one on a tough bite, mm-hmm. getting them both on Sunday too. They had to have been pretty jacked up knowing that they were going to make a big move, and just the half day fishing.
Hell yeah! Shout out.
Shout out. Yeah, I don't know if you guys want to skip down a ways, unless you guys have someone you want to hit on or a story with anybody in between and fourth through eighth. And eighth place was Matthew Mueller and Gary Bowyer. They caught the 41 and a quarter, the big fish of the tournament. And then a little bit farther down, Chur Boys, Gus and Max, 10th place. That's big though. Big get on the leaderboard in the first one.
That is big. I'm pretty happy about that. We were actually pretty surprised. We were about to head out and go west and got the call like you probably should come to the ceremony. You squeaked in the top 10 and Max and I were like, "No way. There's no way
We
we
thought we
held
for
it."
sure were we got bounced.
Because I think we're at like sixth or something on the check-in on Saturday, and we're like, "Nah, if people kept their doubles, got another one, or somebody else got their double, from their single fish on Saturday." We're like, there's just no way. And here it is every year, Cave Run, somewhere in like the seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, one fish will get you that spot. And I was just so surprised to see one single sub 40 crack the top 10. But
Do you know who 11th place? How close were they to nudging you out?
same
They had
size.
same size. We just got ours earlier in the
Oh,
day.
no way.
Yeah, got pretty lucky there.
Yeah, you wonder why people are pinching those tails so hard in those tournaments, because every quarter inch matters when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
A
We
lot
got
of the
every
times,
bit of
crazy.
39 and three quarters out of that as we could. I wish it stretched
Oh, we
further,
got
but
it was less. That was the 39. It was almost
no,
40.
no, no, it
39
wasn't.
seven eighths. What?
I can't. Nah, you got to look at that picture, dude. It was like the bottom tail was 39 and a half, and the top tail was like, I mean, it
Couple
touched
millimeters
39 and
over.
three. It touched 39 and three quarters, and that was it. We, dude, I would have had to step on that fish to get it to 40, and I'm not gonna do
Get all
that.
the spawn out of there.
Yeah,
Probably would have
I
been a
mean,
43.
I know, unlucky for us, it doesn't go by weight in these tournaments, it goes by length.
Yeah,
But
that might be a blessing some other time.
either way, the fish measured what she did. Got us the placement, and we're pretty stoked on that, and pumped to get down to the Madison chain. And what is it now, 6 weeks from now or so? A little under 6 weeks.
When is that? You know what dates those are off the top of your head? That ju beginning of June?
Yeah, I think it's the 11th and 12th. Oh shit, I'm looking at
An eighth,
May. Sorry,
ninth.
8th, 9th. Yep, I was
Yeah.
looking at May. 8th, 9th. So we'll probably get down there, that midweek, mid to late week, give it a day or two or three to pre-fish that. And yeah, between now and then, we got the Southern opener, Northern opener, and a couple hucks here and there for some bass.
Can
We
I
might talk.
want a quick
Is
touch on Jeremy, Trevor, and Clayton and Nick, who were on the podcast
sure.
last week.
Yep, I didn't mean to jump ahead. As we said before, Barbers got on the board. Trevor got one on Sunday. Big time fish for them. That gives them some really good points in the standings to, make the championship, have a shot at that, and have a shot at the Top Gun. Just catching a fish keeps that alive, because for those that don't know, the Top Gun is, when they talk about most consistent team, it means that you pretty much are getting placed or catching fish in every single event. It's not if you can just go and whack five, six of them in one event and you get more points than other people. It goes by placement in a tournament. So with the Tough Bite and Cave, with their 36 incher, I'm sure they got somewhere in the top 14, 15, 18th place, which gets some pretty good points. I mean, if you catch a 36 incher at Madison, your points might be down the line if there's more fish caught there, if that makes sense. If there's more fish caught in Madison, you catch one 36 incher, your placement might be in 30th place, whereas in Cave Run with the 36 incher, they probably maybe got like 15th, 16th place. So big time points for the Barbers. I know they were struggling going in. I don't know if they got one. They didn't get one pre-fishing, but they stuck to what they knew would work down there. It was Trevor's third year, Jeremy's fourth, fifth, sixth or so year. I can't remember. He's been there a few other times, without his son Trevor. But then we go into with Clayton and Nick. Definitely, man. I don't know how to start this at all. It's some heartbreaks here, but they got a
Can we start
short
with the
on day
funny part?
one. And sure, what's the funny part?
Well, the funny part, when probably the hardest I laughed at the cabin when Clayton was telling the story of there was like one pretty interesting team out there on the trail that Gus and I ran into a few times out on the water as well, that we were kind of having a little bit of chuckle at. But apparently when Clayton cut his short, Brian, the one of the trail teams like yelled over to him like, "Nice!" Like they were cheering for him. They're like, "How big?" And Clayton was like, "27 inches." And the guy was like, "God damn it!"
It's like it was his own fish. Like, no,
Like,
God damn
this isn't like the PMTD versus Cave Run, you know? It's like
it.
every
It's
boat's for
everyone
themselves,
versus the
dude.
lake.
So that was a pretty funny lie, like. I don't know how I would feel if I had yelling back to boat. Yeah, we caught a short, and the guy's like, "God it!" The way
That's
Clayton
funny
told it,
stuff.
it made me crack up. But yeah,
Yeah.
they had a tough Saturday. Clayton hooked a nice fish, and it got off. So that would have rocketed them up to the leaderboard. After watching the video, it looked like a nice fish. And then on Sunday, they just, man, I don't know, Gus, if you want to tell or not, but yeah, like they had some boat issues, and yeah, that was just made it tough for them to get out there for a full day. They had some boat issues and were only able to fish for 2 hours. Ended up raising a
Yep.
fish, which, I mean, props to them, but man, it's just tough. So I'm sure they'll be back and ready to go for Madison and paid their dues. And like we've had Clayton on a few times, and they had a really tough time at the chip that one year, and then they go back the next year and stick a bunch of fish and ended up taking the top three for the championship. So I don't expect them to do anything differently for the next tournament, bounce back and catch a bunch of fish. But yeah, that's a little recap on our guests from last week. And Greg, like I mentioned, Greg popped in and gave us the full rundown. Greg's been fishing, and it's, one of the best fish, one of the best anglers I know. I know him and his partner had a tough tournament too, and that was no surprise. I mean, out of the, 93 so teams that were in it, I think only 22 boats caught fish. So it's just one of those years where, you had about a 20% chance. Most people were fishing the same spots, and you're just kind of crossing your fingers and saying your prayers.
Welcome to the cave in April.
Yeah, we've heard it's great in the fall, so I'd love to get back. I mean, say this, the scenery gorgeous. Town is super cool. We got to hang out on Greg Thomas's houseboat one night, which was pretty sweet
That's
pad.
sick.
Got to
Sweet.
experience Tony's
Muskie
what's the name?
Lodge.
Muskie Lodge one night, and got to hang out with a bunch of other trail teams and have a good time. Meet some new people. And that was a lot of fun. He
How are
hosted.
the local Kentuckians? How they treat you?
Good. Everyone was
Southern
good.
hospitality, man. Got some
Yeah.
more free barbecue at Crash's Landing on Friday night. I mean,
Damn. Everyone was just so nice. Like, yeah, they're just so hospitable and treat you right. Like, you go there for the free food, and it's like, "Oh, can I have a barbecue sandwich? Have a burger. Have a chili dog.
Take
Take
one to
take an extra
go.
take one to go. Have an extra bag of chips." They're just handing out free food. And Tony made a bunch of jambalaya and some other stuff, and like, you're just getting fed down there and just having a good time. So, overall experience, 10 out of 10, really, really fun trip. Just wish, the old cave
Fishing.
would be a little bit more fishy in the spring, because apparently it's got I mean, Brian, you would have loved it. The scenery, so cool there. Like you're fishing in a, essentially like the foothills of the Appalachians.
Is it kind of like the Ozarks, Gus, when we went down there?
Yeah, actually, pretty much spot on. Honestly, it seemed like it was like a higher frequency of hills, though. Like they were pretty packed in there. It's pretty cool stuff. I mean, there's some of those creek arms you go into and you're just sitting in them and you're like, you feel so small. Like those, like that sun, it can set like way earlier than normal down there. I mean, you can follow those, shade lines and get more and more sunlight in different areas you go to. It's wild. You would like Max said, you would love it. You'd love hucking there. You'd love, hitting all the timber, but you'd
Just not
probably
in the spring, maybe.
drive yourself insane, yeah, after being like, how the hell is there not a fish there? And it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, hopefully eventually I'll make my way down there. I mean, I it'd be nice if they'd at least let us fish three for pre-fishing or something. Do you think I'd be scolded and frowned upon if I like got myself a kayak and came down to pre-fish Madison from a kayak?
Pre-fish Madison. I don't know, why not? You're gonna get rocked out there from the boat traffic, but you can do what you want
Maybe
with
I'll just
that.
fish Wingra with the kayak while you guys are
There you go.
pre-fishing.
I think that's a solid plan, honestly.
Not a bad idea. I've been thinking about getting a kayak, so maybe
There you go. They're not too expensive and you can,
the
just
fishing
strap
ones
her on the
are, I
top of the
mean,
car.
few grand, but yeah.
Okay. I don't know. You're making them big bucks. You got that big boy job. You'll be all right. You can afford a kayak.
We'll see. We'll see. I might. Depends if you guys got a bed or a floor for me to lay my head for a couple days. I guess that's during the week though, so we shall see.
Yeah, we probably will. So definitely keep that in mind. Let's move on from Cave Run. I think we talked about that pretty thoroughly. As much as we could. Right now we're looking at Southern Opener. Anybody got a weather watch? What do we got for weather down south?
Well, for me, it's straight west. We checked this. We've been messaging every day for the last handful of days, checking the weather, and it seems like all of us use a different weather app, and therefore all of us have totally different forecasts. But mine's been consistent all day. It looks like 30% chance of rain Saturday, high of 64. And then Sunday is going to be really nice. 69 is a high, sunny, low wind, which I guess is nice on paper. It might not be nice for the fish. But Saturday seems pretty fishy. So we'll see. Northwest wind. Yeah, I'm just excited to get out there nice and early. Hopefully get some dew on the water.
I'm thinking so. Should be tasty. I mean, yeah, we're looking at 60s and 40s for the highs and lows where we're going to be at. We're going to be hucking on the old Wisco River. We don't have much history there, kind of at all, but we are going to try and figure something out. We're going to be fishing with the big crew down there and seeing what we can come up with. We're going to be throwing four out of our boat. It's going to be myself, Brian, Max, and then our good buddy Jack, who has been on the podcast once last year in the summer, and he's been along with us for a few musky benders, like openers and the fall one last year. So he'll be with us for the Southern Opener and Northern Opener. And man, I'm just excited again to get out and musky fish. I think it's going to be fun to go probably mainly twitch crankbaits, glide baits, small bucktails, small topwater, medium to small rubber. I don't know if I'm missing much
I'm
more in our
sure
arsenal.
with us having four, especially like the third and fourth guy, I'm sure we'll pretty much throw every bait ever made unless we get on a pattern early. But I'm excited. I'm really excited. I mean, we've talked about the Wisconsin River a lot. We've heard a lot of good things from other people we've had in the pod in the past. The Taps and Tackle guys said it's just an incredible fishery. That's They fish it up closer to Wausau and Stevens Point, but yeah, I'm excited to see kind of how it fishes, and hopefully Max has some better luck this weekend. You're putting in your time.
For sure. I don't know what else to add to that. I mean, yeah, definitely excited to get back out there.
I'm just hoping you're not down too bad, and we're just hoping we get the full effort out of
No, I'm good.
you.
I'm ready to go. It'll be another early morning for me. I'll be coming down Saturday super early and meeting you guys out there.
Scary.
I mean,
My biggest concern with you is celebrating your birthday early on that Friday night. You might be showing up in shambles.
nah, no one cares when you
Oof.
turn 29. No one cares when you turn 29, so it's
29.
all good.
29. Whoa. You're not going to talk about the big
No, you
30.
can't. It's just a 29th birthday from here on out.
It's all good. I mean, I'm turning 29, so no one really cares about that. When you turn 29, no one cares, so it's
Hey,
all
you'll still
good
be
again.
29 on that Friday, but I don't know about that Saturday, dog.
Sunday, Max. Sunday. You're gonna be waking up in a world of hurt, dude. Shit. It's all
Just ain't
good
gonna be
though.
hucking like you used to, man.
I mean, what
Yeah.
do you mean? I don't know. I'm still in my 20s, so it's no
Yeah. Hopefully,
problem.
your big 29th birthday gift will be a nice big muskie.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Turning 29 and catching a muskie, that'd be awesome.
Oh man, this is funny.
Yeah, no, turning 30 sucks, but it's all good.
Yeah.
I think I just had way too much time to think about the tournament because we did the full car ride back after the award ceremony. We left Morehead at 4 o'clock roughly and got some Huey Magoo's. Shout out Huey Magoo's upcoming
Absolutely
restaurant
gassed.
chain. Pretty gas. A little rivalry for Chick-fil-A. So if you're down south, you see a Huey Magoo's. Don't be afraid to stop on in there. They got some good
Some
stuff.
Magoo
I
sauce is freaking
mean,
dank, dude.
that Magoo sauce was fire. But Gus and I, did the first eight and a half hours ish together. So that was pretty nice. We really talked about kind of a full like debrief, kind of like we're doing now. Got to chat about how we can try to take this tournament thing to the next level and keep our foot on the gas with this and all that good stuff. And had some great conversations on the way back. So the time was just flying as we were having fun. We were talking muskies. Gus dropped me off and it was about midnight. I was in DeForest, Wisconsin, had to get to Minneapolis somehow, and Gus had to get to Eagle River. And man, oh man, that last 4 hour stretch was tough.
Yeah, we were in
Started.
all sorts of dazed and like weird mind states of just like being up for, at that point
24
in that
hours.
drive, it's 20 to 24 hours by the time we got back home. And
Well, how was work on Monday, Max?
How you'd expect it to be after
As
sleeping
much as
for an hour or two and
as
much
two
as
hour
a
nap.
zombie.
As much as a zombie can contribute to society,
It was
going through the motions.
would not recommend, but yeah, so no, I'll be I'm pretty pumped up for this weekend. It's gonna be a good time getting back on the horse, as we like to say. Excited to kind of get back to throwing and casting more normal stuff. I think that'll be a good breath of fresh air, so.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll be tapping in with a good old debrief of the Southern Opener. For those getting out for the Southern Opener, no matter where you're going, good luck. Catch some muskies. Have fun. Be safe out there. Hopefully your boats are all in working order. This is the time of year where you find out some weird stuff's going on. It's pretty normal, and I'm sure there's some things I gotta tweak with my boat. It's in pretty darn good shape, surprisingly, honestly. But yeah, good luck to all those out there. We'll debrief on that next weekend, more with like water temps and stuff. I obviously haven't been down there at all. I don't know what the water temps are looking like. But up
I'm
here,
hoping
it's
they're,
pretty
I'd
much.
assume mid-50s, maybe. It's been fairly warm, I mean.
I would assume so. There's been a good weather line kind of knocking through mid Wisconsin, where up here it's just stayed cold, and down there they've been getting some like 70s and upper 70s, where up here, man, I mean, we're still chilling with like 45 to maybe 50 degrees, depending on the lake you're on
That's
up
wild.
here. I mean, it's cold. I mean, it's warm winter, cold spring. It's prolonged. We're getting a ton of rain. We got a
Yeah, we're
lot of
getting a
rain
lot of
while
rain here.
we got a lot of rain while we were in Cave Run. We're getting a whole bunch of rain next week. I'm stoked on that. Everybody's really pumped about that. The chain is staying full of water. I know the Three Lakes chain finally filled back up. They're not really filtering much through right now. I think the rainbow is still a little bit low. So I don't know what that exactly means for the Wisconsin River more south, but that's kind of how it's playing out up here. Because obviously, for those that don't know, the Wisconsin starts at LVD, rolls down into the Eagle River chain, flows out of Otter Rapids Dam down to the Rainbow, and then through various numbers of many, many dams and reservoirs. And a lot of them vary in how much CFS they're pumping out, but it's all looking pretty good. We're getting water, and it's a good sign for a good spring. We'll be if you haven't already, go check out our Muskies on Tap Instagram account. We still got, I think as of right now, we accidentally missed out on the bait of the week this week. We'll just post one early, a little late or something.
But reels are coming back, baby.
Reels are coming back. We're
Let's
getting footy.
go.
We're catching muskies. We're getting on the water. It's not the winter anymore. It's good stuff. It's warming up. So tune in for when we got some reels coming out on Instagram. Also be sure to, if you haven't, give a follow to my guide service page, Suggs Fishing, on Instagram and Facebook. Send me a friend request on Facebook, Gus Manti. Still got some openings for smallmouth bass. That fishing has been phenomenal. Just got back, fished one day, went out with my dad, and we hammered a good bit of them, caught multiple species. Obviously, some are not in season, so we're shaking them off boat side, but they're still biting right where all the smallmouth are. It's the spring. All the fish are basically shallow in the same areas, hitting artificials. It's fun stuff. Let's get on the boat for that. Got muskie openings as well in June and throughout the season. So let's get out and go muskie fishing. Before we head out here, I'll do a quick update. I've been freaking horrible about getting the Muskies on Tap hats on the website. People have been asking about that. There will be more announcements on that. I'm going to get some pictures. I'm going to get them up to have them ready to ship. Appreciate all of the guy, you know, all of the guys and gals that came up and bought hats during the show season when I initially had them out. You guys got a good deal on them, and thanks for repping them early. But I'll get those out so that everyone can, who wants to grab one, can have one for the summer. Hopefully, it can be their new fave summer hat. I've enjoyed wearing them. They, what do we say, Max? They scientifically work somehow, however the science comes through.
I know our sweatshirts do. I think the proof is yet to be in the pudding on the hats. We haven't had them out for long enough, so nobody's really out there rocking them catching fish. So I'm not in the game where I'm going to do some false advertising here. We, you know, TBD on if
Okay,
the hats
okay.
help you catch fish. I
Hey, we tell it like it is around
they
here.
might be
Yeah.
bad. They might help you catch rock bass. You probably catch a bunch
Yeah.
of rock bass with them,
Yeah.
honestly. It might be
I will
bad.
say I, you know,
They
you
might
know
be
me,
bad. He was
I'm
not a marketing
a,
major. I was not. I went to school for engineering, not marketing.
listen to this sales guy here.
These hats might be bad. Buy one.
Just let me present my pitch deck to you here real quick.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah, no,
really read through that one before I said it.
You're good. I will say, you know, you guys know I'm a pretty particular hat guy, And these work. These work. So
They
they're
block the
nice.
sun.
Mine's officially broken in now. Very comfortable. They do block the sun. TBD on if they help you, will help you catch fish this year. But if I had a hunch, sweatshirts help. Same
Shit. Surely
logo.
it can't hurt.
Surely couldn't hurt.
Combine them
So
together, you might get something special.
don't be afraid.
Overpowered.
Don't be afraid. But yeah, no, we'll have some more stuff up on the Muskies on Tap Instagram coming to you live now that we got those head cams rolling for a majority of the time when we're fishing. That's produced some really, really fun footage, really cool, unique perspective on all that. I never thought I'd be fishing with a GoPro stapled to my head, but here we are. Such is life. And I'll tell you what, it is damn fun to watch those videos back after you get done with the day.
Cool.
Like,
Great
even
POV.
that one lonely follow that I got in Cave Run, we got to watch it back, and it was like, oh, if I wanted that fish to eat, could have tried this in the figure eight, could have done this with the crankbait. Got some mental notes if I get one coming in hot on the eight on the old Wisconsin River. So I know you kind of look a
All
little
right, bookmark
goofy.
that. We'll come back
Yeah.
to
I know you kind of
it.
look sometimes a little goofy or feel a little goofy. I know I do, at least feeling a little weird with the GoPro stapled to the top of the hat. But I'll tell you what, when you get to watch that footage back, it's super helpful. And and now I can prove to Gus when I move a big fish that I'm not over
It's big or
exaggerating
not?
the size. And that did just
Can't wait.
happen. He undershot the follow I got. We watched it back. He's like, oh yeah, that's actually a pretty big fish. I was like, yeah, it is a
Hey, you
big
do
fish.
know a thing or two. Oh, that's
So
good. Good stuff. Couldn't have said that better myself. Gives you the good footage for running it back on it, learning from it. Good stuff. Can't wait to share all that with you folks out there. Thanks for tapping in. Been a minute since we've talked about what we're drinking tonight. I'm not sure many of us are. I knocked back a Busch Light for this interview here. I don't know if you guys were rocking the old Agua Mineral or what
yeah,
you're going
Body
for.
Armor water. They claim that it has electrolytes and that it's alkaline. I don't know, but it's water.
Don't buy it. Oh, okay. Planning on
Hey, what
having
about you?
some beers this weekend, either in
Oh, some
celebration or
bears.
the beers.
Having some bears.
Having a couple brews. Yeah, we'll be tapping in with plenty of those this weekend. Maybe a couple sippers from the old Crown bottle, but
Damn. Damn.
Hey,
All right, Brian,
shotgun
before
for
we
fish.
yeah, shotguns or shot for fish. All right, before we keep rambling on here about just random stuff, Brian, you want to just take her
Just
away?
get us out of here. Yeah.
Get us
All
out of here.
right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this episode. Shout out to all the top 10 teams in the first leg of the PMTT at Cave Run. Incredible work, gentlemen. And we got the Southern Opener to look forward to this weekend. Praying for good weather. Good luck to everybody else fishing it. And then we enter another gray period before the Northern Opener, except for all you bastards that live in the South and can continue to fish for them. And everybody make sure this weekend on Sunday to spam our DMs for Max's second 29th birthday. Shout out to him. Make sure to flood with congratulations for repeating a whole nother year. Peace.